Mini-episode 995 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late-night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Welcome to FDH Lounge mini episode number 995. I'm FDH managing partner Rick Morris here with our preview of the Billions season 3 finale. Here's our top 5 developments coming out of episode 3.11. Number 5, Wendy and Laura are on the same page for once. Now that Laura's let go of Bobby, she's better able to see that Wendy is no real threat to her, and Aunt Wendy's concern for her son's process of adapting to the divorce didn't hurt either. But it took Wendy extending the olive branch to a woman that she knows is irrationally jealous of her that broke the ice and got Laura back to Axe as a trusted consigliere on the annual bonuses. Given that Laura shot down Bobby's attempt at turning her visit into a booty call, who knows if things will go any further on the reconciliation front, but it seems that Laura versus Wendy will be joining Bobby versus Chuck, Chuck versus Charles, Chuck versus Ira, more about that in a minute, and Dollar Bill versus Spiros on this season's pile of settled grudges. Fortunately, there's always new ones ready to flare in the Billions universe. Number 4. Chuck's got his best friend back. Never say never on this show when it comes to patching things up. Chuck's guilt about what he did to Ira was stronger than his ire at Ira for backstabbing him back, so he took it upon himself to take down the lawyer's gold-digging young wife and her boyfriend. But just when it looked like he'd be successful in driving her off and probably leading to Ira swinging from a shower rod, in comes Charles Rhodes Sr. to save the day with his wacky takes on modern marriage. In the end, Ira knows that Chuck has squared his debt, and the two could be aligned again going forward. Number 3. While Chuck is making amends for his behavior, Bobby continues to alienate those around him. Stiffing his lawyer on that extra million doesn't seem too wise for someone who plays as fast and loose with the law as Axe. And while in the end his reluctance to throw money around for the year-end bonuses still didn't cause a problem with too many of his employees, one of the very most important, Taylor, evidently saw it as the last straw. Number 2. The trap is set for the Attorney General. By enlisting New York's Attorney General as his stalking horse to ostensibly chase Jock Jeffcoat for his shady cable dealings, Chuck is setting a trap for obstruction of justice. It's a heck of a ploy, but one that could be undermined by those who remain alienated from Chuck. Number 1. After being at war with each other for 2.5 seasons, the arc of the last half season culminates in Bobby and Chuck each being targeted by their protégés. For Axe, it's been a long time coming as he undermined and underappreciated Taylor during his exile from trading and has been less than fully generous since taking back full control. In the end, it was probably the destruction of Taylor's relationship with Oscar that was most instrumental in causing the young genius to stab Axe in the back. We've speculated throughout this season about whether Taylor is a better evolved, next-generation version of Bobby, and the Quant operation, financed in part by his $25 million, is going to be delicious revenge indeed. Keep in mind also that Taylor is now part of the pitch team and will be privy to everything that Axe Capital will be putting in front of would-be investors. Bobby has made a very dangerous enemy. Chuck's already made one in Brian Connerty, who was using his perch at the FBI and Jock Jeffcoat's newfound regard for him to pursue an angle that is much bigger than he even knows right now. He's joined up with Dake in a crusade to get revenge on Chuck, and the irony is that while they want to take down one SOB, they'll be empowering a much bigger and more crooked SOB to hang on to his perch. There's great irony in Brian, the most righteous man in law enforcement, empowering a tyrant like Jeffcoat by going after Chuck, but that's the way these things often play out in the circles of the high and mighty. The season finale is going to be fascinating in terms of the bizarre world scenes facing Axe and Chuck. Bobby doesn't know that he's got an enemy coming for him. Chuck knows that Connerty hates him, but couldn't care less because he can't see yet that Brian is about to get in his way, and for that matter, neither does Brian. But things are about to look much different by the time this season's last episode has played out, and that last chapter for this season looks like it's going to be awesome. Thank you for tuning in to this mini-episode of the FDH Lounge.
As we bring the show to a close, we would like to extend our deepest gratitude to NBC, CBS, ABC, Fox, All Clear Channel affiliates, TNT, TBS, USA, UPN, Deadspin.com, YouTube.com, YTMND.com, MySpace.com, various blogs, Fox News, CNN, CNBC, MSNBC, IamBored.com, Billboard.com, Google.com, ESPN, ESPN2, ESPN News, ESPN Classic, NBA TV, NFL Network, Sports Time Ohio, Athlon Magazine, Comedy Central, Cartoon Network, The Boomerang Channel, QVC, BET, The Spice Channel, Steno Notebooks, Manwich, Papermate Office Supplies, Waitresses, Strippers, Bartenders, Garbage Men, Janitors, Microwave Popcorn, The Writers of The Office, Scrubs, Entourage, My Name is Earl, Oz, Metalocalypse and the Boondocks, Awkwafina, and The Periodic Table of Elements.